The Recruitment Rollercoaster Podcast. My name is Hisham Azouz, and this is the show where I bring to life the true failures, successes, and learns from recruiters and recruitment business owners. Today, I'm joined by the lovely Claire Petrie, who is a recruiter based in Buffalo, New York. Claire started her career in 2012, initially working as an internal recruiter for corporate businesses. Since then, she's worked within human resources for a number of companies and recently took the leap from internal recruitment to the agency side in 2018. Claire has a real passion for the HR and recruitment industry, and she has recently started her very own blog, and she also shares her journey through LinkedIn videos online. In this conversation, we discuss how Claire went from internal recruitment to agency recruitment and why she started a recruitment blog. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Claire Petrie, thank you for joining me.
Hi, Hisham.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
I'm brilliant. I'm really excited. I've been looking forward to have a good conversation with you. So, let's do this. So, Claire, as you know, I've done a very brief insight to sort of your career and yourself. I'm dying to tell you and ask you, a good couple of questions.
Sure.
The first one that I was really curious to ask, because in my short time in recruitment, what I've seen a lot is basically people go from the agency side, which I work, into the internal HR corporate world. Now, for you, obviously, you've recently gone into the agency side from obviously being in HR on the corporate side, right? So,
yeah.
Firstly, the question is twofold. Why? And how have you found it? Because I know you're a couple of months in, but how have you found it so far?
Yeah, so the transition has been really interesting. So, what I like about it, though, because you're right, a lot of people start off in agency recruitment and then go in-house.
Yeah.
And I feel like the way I did it actually helped me to be a better agency recruiter. So basically, so what I like about it, so the transition's been good. What I like about it is that I'm seen as more of a recruitment consultant and as an expert in my field. So,
sure.
Yeah, so obviously companies are reaching out to my firm because they can't find the talent they need. So they expect, you know, I'm at that level that's going to bring them those people. So that's really great. I also enjoy the variety of the roles I work on. So,
okay.
Yeah, so my firm specializes in manufacturing and logistics recruitment, but we still fill all roles for manufacturing clients. So it could be a line operator, an engineer, an administrative person, or a manager. So working as an in-house recruiter for one company, I didn't have as much.
You're limited to what you sort of get involved in and stuff. Yeah,
exactly. So that's been a really great part of the transition that I've liked. Working as an in-house recruiter, though, for one company allowed me exposure to their other, you know, people processes. So like plans, performance reviews, succession planning, things like that, which was really interesting and allowed me to expand my skills in those areas, which now I feel like makes me a better consultant to my clients as well, kind of understanding those aspects.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting you say that. And I didn't think of it like that, but coming from that side, I think you're completely right, because obviously you're now on the other side of the fence, but you can really understand obviously the process on the other side, and also you understand what these HR people do, like really understand it, so you can obviously really understand that and look to collaborate, because I'm sure you find it a lot easier to understand their processes, what they've got going on, and that helps you obviously build a relationship with the client.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to add, is that I actually went from a role as just an in-house recruiter to an HR manager for a company. So I did not only recruitment, but, you know, like performance improvement plans and investigations for harassment, all those types of things. So What else that helped me a lot with that is that a lot of the times in my current role, the point person at my client who I'm submitting resumes to is the HR person and not the hiring manager directly. So having been in that role, I can understand, like you said, exactly where they're coming from and what they do. And it's easier for me to gain credibility right off the bat, but also build that relationship.
Yeah, no, I think that's really interesting. And also, I think a big pat on the back, Claire, for obviously going out there, getting out of your comfort zone, going on the other side. And I'm glad you're enjoying it. So I think that leads me to my next question. So when you obviously spent that time in HR, and those types of positions, what did you find most challenging in those types of roles then over the years?
Yeah, so I think the most challenging thing being in-house in that type of role is really learning the business and being able to kind of work your way up. So
yeah,
unfortunately, HR still kind of has that stigma of being very compliance-driven, risk-averse, not very people-focused. So I actually started off as like a talent acquisition coordinator, doing more like scheduling interviews and doing background checks and things like that. So when I was promoted to a TA specialist, and I needed to learn a lot more about the business in order to recruit, so I spent a lot of time going on plant tours, talking to my operations professionals and doing research. So all of that was challenging to learn that new business, but I was able to position myself as more of a talent acquisition business partner who not only submitted candidates, but could advise my managers on like the structure of their team, looking at internal candidates.
That's cool.
You know, yeah. So as you know, a lot of hiring managers usually want someone that's already been doing the exact same thing somewhere else. So in the type of market that we're in, especially in manufacturing, that's not usually realistic. So it was really challenging to learn all of that and build the credibility and gain those relationships, but and it ended up being the most kind of rewarding aspect too.
Yeah, because obviously you put in the work, you got to know the business you work for and spend the most time for. So I get that's interesting. So Claire, something I definitely want to ask you, because I've definitely noticed it over the past, I don't know, maybe from 2018, maybe a bit before, please correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like you're starting to really double down on sort of the content you're sharing. Obviously we follow each other on Twitter, got you on LinkedIn, but it seems like you're really sort of trying to build, and in the process of building, sort of your personal brand. So I mean, again, sort of twofold really, what sort of prompted this, or what motivated that, if you feel like you have started to really double down on it? And also, do you think that people in our industry, recruiters, should be doing it?
Yeah, so you're right. I really started it in the beginning of January. That's when I started my blog.
Nice. Was it a New Year's resolution then?
Yeah, well, kind of. The funny thing is, and yeah, I mean, I think I kind of missed one of your initial questions too on kind of like why I made the jump. But that kind of leads into it, because I was so, I guess, unhappy in my last role. It was just the nature of the position. I supported a 24/7 office for the company. So it was just a lot of hours, a lot of those employee relations issues. So that's kind of why I wanted to go back into recruitment and try agency as something new.
Okay.
But that's also when I was going through that time in the fall, when I was so unhappy at my job, I kind of realized, like, I'm spending all my time at work. Like, who am I outside of work? And I, you know, discovered some folks on LinkedIn and Twitter that, you know, were blogging and doing videos and things like that. So it was just kind of perfect timing. I got a new position I was really excited about, and I decided to start some extra things that I really enjoyed and made sure to make time for that. So to answer this question,
no, that's cool. That's great. Honestly, I think, look, honestly, what you just said, that's amazing that you just said that, because I think firstly, to be sort of self-aware that you're like, you know what am I doing? I'm not enjoying this. Dedicating a lot of time, mental time to it, physical time. And the fact that obviously you took action on that, changed things in your life, that's great that you've done that. A lot of people, because I speak to them daily, and I'm sure you may experience that now on the agency side, but a lot of people just put up with their job. A lot of people are just in it for the bills. A lot of people have that mindset, and I just that does break my heart a bit, because I just think we dedicate so much of our time, our life to work in, I think you should do everything you can in your power to get into a position where you're at least smiling at work, you're enjoying it, you're enjoying the people you're working for. So honestly, Claire, well done on obviously taking action and changing your circumstances.
Thank you. Yeah, I think in terms of like what other recruiters should be doing with LinkedIn, I guess, like, I feel like recruiters should do whatever is authentic for them. So like, I love doing LinkedIn videos, so I do it.
Yeah.
I didn't really know it was like a thing. So once I got started with it, I really enjoyed it. But I've had a lot of people ask me if they need to start LinkedIn video. Otherwise, like, they're going to miss the boat and they're going to be left behind and no one's going to see their profiles. And I'm just like, whether you write, you know, articles or blogs, just share other people's content, take pictures or create video, you're adding value to your network if you're, you know, doing it in a respectful way to your target audience. I feel like I just decided to spend more time on LinkedIn because I felt it was necessary for me personally to be successful in my job.
Yeah.
It's kind of the nature of technology evolving and things like that with recruitment. But I also love helping people and learning more about them. It's Brilliant. Just a hobby I enjoy. Like, yeah. I get coffee with people almost every day after work because I just like to talk.
Yeah. I think that's great. I think that's great.
So I also want people to know like who I am and what they can reach out to me for. So LinkedIn has been a good platform for that too.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I think what you said there about people sort of feeling like, oh God, I need to do these videos, I'm gonna miss out sort of thing. I think again it comes down to sort of knowing what you're best at, because at the end of the day, not everyone's gonna be good in front of the camera or comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I've experienced that in the agency I work for, when I was sort of speaking to everyone, and I spoke to my dad. I said, look, I think it's a great opportunity here. All of our competitors use LinkedIn to basically spam candidates, spam the network. And what I mean by that is not messaging people and sending emails, but actually using these networks to simply share their jobs, to simply just post, got this new job. And I really think that, firstly, candidates or clients will look at that and think, yeah, that must be how they get the candidates. Yeah. That is so far from the truth, because I've never posted anything on LinkedIn about a job and then made a placement from it. But also, I just don't think that's the right way of sort of adding value to your network, as you said, and using LinkedIn. I really don't think it should be a platform where you're just spamming your network with the new jobs that you got. And I think that obviously taking initiative to share who you are, share what you're about, tell your story is a lot more powerful. And I think that will work in the long term. I really do. So look,
that's the goal. Thank you.
100%. So look, basically, I know, again, as you said, you like to speak to people, and I can see your sort of online presence. You're really passionate about HR, the industry. So I'd love to get your take on this, because I'm sure you see it all the time. Obviously, people sharing their thoughts and opinions on recruiters or the industry. And it doesn't have the best reputation. Everyone knows that. Because I think there's a lot of people out there who've had bad experiences. But I think, what do you think, Claire? What do you think we could do as an industry, as a whole, as a collective, to try and improve the perception of our industry and what we do for a living?
Yeah, I think what it comes down to, I think it's hard because as recruiters, we're usually commission based, right? Mm. So this naturally motivates us to fill the jobs. But I think where the issue comes in is when you know, recruiters care more about the money than the people, obviously.
100%. So
if you care about your candidates and your clients, obviously, as you know, your fills will come, they're going to be quality fills, and you're going to make that commission. So unfortunately, I think a few bad apples in recruitment have cast that negative light. It's just like being a customer, you're much more likely to talk to someone about a bad experience.
Sure, 100%, of course.
Because you expect to get that good experience. So I think when candidates don't hear back from their recruiter or something like that, they'll obviously tell people about it. And I know that when I first entered into this agency role, I went to my first networking event with my new title and company tag. And I had someone immediately say to me that I walked up to that they weren't interested in any job openings that I had. And I didn't even mention anything about there being positions available. I wasn't even going to bring up. Yeah, exactly. I was just going to get to know them, obviously. So you're right. There's definitely that perception out there. I don't know if it's just pushy or salesy, but I think if we're all just accountable for making that effort to show people that we really care and we do what we do because we want to make a difference in people's lives, like that's what makes a recruiter a good recruiter. So I don't know about changing the industry like a whole, but I just feel like if you're going to be in this business, that you really have to do what you can to overcome that perception, which is just being true to yourself and showing people that you do care about what you're doing.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, yeah, I mean, to sort of change the whole perception as a collective is probably going to be impossible. There's always going to be those people out there who are in it just for the money, who are in it to make that commission. And I get that. It, obviously, a big part of recruitment, a lot of people don't like saying it, is sales. And I think that obviously that obviously attracts salespeople who they want sometimes salespeople just want the quickest route to the money. That's why they're in sales. But I think those people over the long term won't last in the industry. I think those people will get weeded out. And I think that it's people like yourself who actually genuinely care about helping people. That's why that's a big part of the job that I like, that I'm actually in a position where not only can I help them with job, but also you can actually help them with your life experience and what you've gone through and the other experience that you've had with other candidates. And because you're helping these people through a time that can be quite stressful, a time that can be obviously quite intense. And I think that when you've got a recruiter thinking, what's the quickest way of me being able to make commission from this person? That's when obviously the bad experience is going to occur, because it's short-sighted. They're not going to care if the client says no, thank you, not interested after that interview. They're not going to want to call them back because they're going to think, well, that's not going to make me money, is it? So I think it's about taking accountability, as you said, 100%, and actually enjoying the part of the job where you do actually impact one, people's lives, and also businesses. And I think that's the great part about it. So I think the more you get in touch with those parts of the job, the more chance you got in making the right decisions, 100%. So definitely agree with you there. So look, one thing that I wanted to ask you, Claire, because I think that there could be listeners on the agency side thinking about internal or internal going to agency. So obviously you've gone from internal to the agency side. So if there's anyone out there who's also considering going onto the agency side, what advice, I know you're sort of still fairly new in, but what advice would you give to someone who's sort of starting in the agency world, coming from the internal world like yourself?
Yeah, so I think what I learned primarily was I had to be really open-minded and patient. So what I didn't realize was that maybe it's just my positive and optimistic like attitude, but I expected like all my clients would welcome me with open arms. Kind of. So,
I wish.
I know, right? So some of them were totally like that. Some had a bad experience, with other agencies. So I already had a target on my back. Yeah. So each client is so different. So I learned in terms of how they like to communicate, how responsive they are, how much information they're willing to give you. So my advice would be to just be open-minded and be patient and stay positive, because it took me, I think I'm now on week 6.
Okay.
It took this long to get to know my clients and their needs and see a tour of their facility and build that relationship like before you even fill a position. So
yeah.
It definitely took longer than I thought it would.
100%. I think, look, I've been in the agency side for just over 2 years now. And honestly, I think that the first 12 months, if you come from the internal, you should have that mindset 100%. And that's being patient, being optimistic, not getting too caught up on the rejection, the initial rejections, the setbacks. I think if you are patient and you think that the sort of time you're investing in sort of learning on the agency side, it will pay off, and it will pay off long term, 100%. But I just think you do have to be patient. You really do. So 100%. So look, before I ask you sort of what you've got going on, you're in week 7, what you're excited about, etc., quick question. I know I asked you this on my blog as well, but what do you think, obviously in your HR stroke recruitment career, what has been the best piece of advice that you've received?
Yeah, so this one's kind of basic, but really just to listen to understand and not listen to respond. I think
again, not listen to, wait, say that again, not listen to respond.
Oh, listen, yeah, listen to understand and not to respond.
Ah, I like that.
So, and I had to practice it for sure. Yeah. Listening for understanding and information instead of preparing my response before the person even finished getting their point.
I was so bad for that as well. I was so bad. I remember my director telling me on the, sort of the first couple of months, you're asking a question and then you're answering the question for them.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to do though, because you're asking the question and you're hoping to get the answer. You're hoping to get the answer that you want. So you naturally just go, yeah. So this is what you meant, isn't it? But as you quite rightly said, you need to listen to understand.
Yeah. So that's what's really helped gain trust with clients and candidates too, is being a good listener.
No, I think that's great. I think that's great advice. And I think I've learned even more coming from a sales environment. I was just that person. I wanted to talk the most and all those sorts of things. And as I've sort of become more experienced, I've learned to listen. I've learned to say something, then be quiet, just completely still, be quiet. And when you do that in the right situations, when you're negotiating rates, when you speak to candidates, that's when you can really gather the important information and understand your candidates' motivations, your clients' pain points. So 100% clear, that is very valuable advice. So look, thank you so much for your thoughts, Claire. What I'd really like to know what's going on is in your world. Look, so you're on week 7. I mean, what have you got going on at the moment, and what are you excited about over the coming months?
Yeah, so I have about 24 openings right now.
Nice.
So very excited to fill those. I actually did just get my first fill.
Wow, well done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Amazing.
So, yeah, it was awesome. So it was nice to exceed expectations, I guess, in terms of the time frame.
Brilliant.
On that. But right now I'm just working on a lot of the things that I kind of started in early January. So I'm still writing and reading a lot. I'm part of the SHRM 18 blogger team. So
cool.
for SHRM's annual conference in Chicago this year, they have a group of about 60 of us attending that are interviewing speakers and vendors, writing blog posts. So I'm doing a lot of that, which I enjoy. I'm also actually going to be a guest on a podcast related to the SHRM conference next week.
Amazing.
And this is the first podcast I've actually ever
been. Yeah, it's been good.
Yeah. So doing these types of activities, I guess, this format of speaking with folks and getting that information out there for others has been a new experience, but I'm really excited about it. And then I just also started a 4-week fitness challenge. On
wow. Nice.
That'll probably be the first thing going to the wayside is how I delegate my time, but that's okay.
Nice. Good work. Look, absolutely love it, Claire. You're doing a whole host of things. You're clearly passionate about the industry, and I think that you've got all the right attributes, the right mindset to make a great agency recruiter. So I'm excited to see how it unravels. I'm excited to see how it unravels. So look, before you go, how can people connect with you, Claire?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter at _strclaire, so strclaire, and on LinkedIn, Claire Petrie. I love to connect on both of those platforms, so hope
cool.
to see everyone there.
Yeah, what I'll do as well, I'll put your Twitter handle and your LinkedIn, a link to your LinkedIn on the episode show notes as well, so people can obviously check you out there. So look, Claire, thank you so much for your time. It's been
thank
an
you.
Absolute pleasure. And no doubt I'll speak to you soon. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thanks, Hisham. Have a good one.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.